So my friends have said, like, oh, we love pee bobs. Like, pee bob, period bob. That's just one of my most frank, right? I'll call them out on it straight away.
Welcome to Free Flow, a podcast by She Period, where we freely discuss topics about and around menstruation. Everyone is welcome to listen and join our conversations. I'm Livia, your host, and today we'll be talking about PMS, premenstrual syndrome. Right after that, FemCIP will be coming in with Lost in Menstruation, bringing in some data and information on menstrual health. Stay tuned until the last drop when me, Livia, will come back with what's good, a bonus section with some fine tips. Let's get our flow on. Let's get started. Today's guest will be sharing her PMS stories with us. We each have our own experience with it. Maybe you don't notice it, or you don't feel it that strongly, like me. Or maybe you have to run into the woods to keep your loved ones safe, like our guest today. She's an MC, a TV host. Please introduce yourself and tell us, when was your first period?
Hi, guys. My name is Barbara. I am a freelanced, media personality, I guess you would say. I do a little bit of everything, you know, some hosting, some content, some editing, teach at the gym. So whatever pays the bills, basically. And very accurately put, I do have to run into the woods sometimes just to keep the people I love safe. I've realized as I get older, it does get a little bit worse, but we will dive into that later on, I'm guessing. Right. I got my first period when I was 12, and it was interesting because I was a year older than all the other kids in school because I'd been dropped back a year from when we moved over from the UK to Singapore. So everyone else is 11, I was 12, so I was the first to get my period. And it was a weird feeling. Like, I knew, you know, what was going on and stuff. Mom had been really open about it. But, you know, just to be the only one.
You were quite the first soldier there to share the experience. You had to report back to everyone what to do, but you had none of the girlies there to help you out, I guess.
None of the girls to, like, guide me and say, this is what you do with a pad. You can use a tampon if you want. But Mom was great. She kind of, like, guided me through it.
Oh, lovely.
And we figured everything out. So I was thankful for that. But, you know, all the other girls in school, and I was in an all-girls school as well. Yeah,
oh my God.
I was on the front line.
When I had it, I was quite in the middle. Like, some had it, but it was really funny because the girls in the building that we used to hang out, like, I'm from São Paulo, and the people that live in the same building, they hang out together as kids. And there was actually a race. Everybody wanted so bad to have their period. It was kind of like a countdown. The girl will come down like, I did it. It's my, I got it. And some girl.
I'm a woman now.
Exactly. They're like, oh, who needs pads? I'm trying this brand. I'm trying that brand. Don't you hate it when this happened? Don't you love it when they're like, bragging about it.
Oh my
to the
gosh.
Point that this girl started to lie that she had had her period because she didn't want to feel left out.
Left out. Oh, no.
Looking back, I feel so bad for her. Like, she did get it at 14, which she felt was a bit too old already, which it isn't. It isn't.
It's not. Not at all. But, like, girls can be mean at that age, so when I had my period, there was one day we were at a science camp and I'd leaked like all over my school uniform. I don't know how it happened, but I stood up and there was like, you know, dried blood on the chair. There was, you know, blood on my skirt. I was mortified. And this girl in class, she just yelled out as if it was something to be ashamed of. Oh my God, you got your period? Ew. And I was just like, I didn't know how to respond to it. I just went to the toilet. I got, you know, a spare uniform from the office, like three sizes too big.
Can't relate.
Because spare uniforms, they're just never going to be the right size.
Did they have extras or was it from the lost and found bin? In my school, usually the replacement uniform was just whatever was left behind.
Whatever was left behind. Yeah, no, they weren't spare at all. That was the reject pile. But it was interesting that kind of, you know, that kind of sat with you.
Well, I think this is such a from your first periods, right? Until you reach like late teenage years. everything that happens stays with you. Like your first time shopping by yourself, the first time you stain your pants or a chair, anything that happens in school. Mm. Like, I think I can remember every single period I have in school. I don't know. Like, it's just so impactful. But I think eventually we just make peace with it and just focus in how to deal with it comfortably. Barbara, let me ask you something. You mentioned we had our call before that you have like real strong PMS. At least you noticed that it got stronger now. Did you used to have them when you were younger, like around 13, 14? Do you remember?
You know what? I don't think I did. I don't have any recollection of like really strong PMS. I mean, there was always that joke about it, like, oh my gosh, you're PMSing and this, that, and the other. You know, just like general stereotypes about getting your period and having PMS. But I don't think it really hit until I was maybe after 25. So the last 5 or 6 years, that's when it just hit like a really annoying superpower. That you feel everything tenfold. Like you see a little puppy in a video on TikTok and it's like, that's the end.
I was gonna say that's also my telltale when I start crying about puppies. Like I don't usually, like, you know, that new girl scene from the TV show where she's crying because there's a puppy in a cup, like a really big coffee mug, and there's a tiny, tiny puppy in it, and she just looks at that photo and cries. And I thought, like, oh, this is such an exaggeration. But I think now that it is also getting a bit more noticeable to me, I cry at puppies doing things, and I don't like that. I think that's I do like puppies, that's not what I'm saying, but I wish I could control it a bit more, you know.
It's crazy because you know when you are texting people and you can send GIFs, there is actually a particular GIF from New Girl that is the most accurate description of me when I'm getting my period. And it's just her bawling her eyes out. And the text just says, I want soft pretzels, but I also want to murder someone. And I saw that once, and that's all I ever send out now, because it is the most accurate thing. Like, I want to be hugged and loved, but dare you say or look at me wrong and I will cut you.
Wow. And what other, so your telltales is you get like heightened emotions or sensibilities, not necessarily emotions, but you get more sensitive to.
So sensitive to everything. Like I get annoyed so easily. It has gotten extremely heightened over the last few years, along with, you know, like my cramps. And I saw a gynae about it to be like, okay, my cramps, they're just getting a little bit out of hand here. Can we, you know, just make sure everything's okay?
And you just mentioned now that sometimes it comes late. Does that affect how you, like, how your PMS comes along? With, if it's late, does it mean that it lasts longer or that it comes later?
Yeah. So generally, yeah, it just doesn't go away. And I'm like, all my symptoms are there. I know you're coming. So it's like, okay, PMS has kind of started. I should see you in about, you know, a week or so, 2 weeks tops. And then there was one time when my period, it was about a week and a half, nearly 2 weeks late. And I'm like, come on, man. My premenses cramps are here. My hormones are all over the place. My nipples are sore as hell. Just come already. And then, of course, it's a vicious cycle because I get irritated with my body. So you kind of have to, like, psych yourself out of that spiral. Go do some yoga, get like the womb flowing, drink some ginger tea.
I was trying to think here of any funny stories that might have happened while you were PMSing that you wouldn't normally do when you're in your other state. I don't know, how do you call the opposite state from PMSing? You know, your regular state and the PMS state?
So my friends have said like, oh, we love P-bobs. Like P. Barbara, period. Barbara. That's just when I'm at my most frank, right? I'll call them out on it straight away. So there's no bullshit. We just get straight to the point. So some of my friends love to go shopping with me when that is my state because they're like, we don't need this niceness when something doesn't look right. Just tell me it looks bad so we can move on to the next item of clothing. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't really say that it's your normal self because when you're heightened, it's also your normal self.
All of it.
You are you, and is yourself. I embrace, you know, the crazy that happens right before my period hits.
The non-PMS barb and the P-barb. I like that. Almost like barbed wire, yeah. You know, have P-barb.
It should have one of those signs saying, caution, Barbara on her period.
Fair warning, though. But honestly, I think I do the same. I do glare a lot. And then I think you have three goes before mm-hmm. I say something. You know, annoy me once, I talk to myself, I talk myself down. And then you get the glare. And then I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, excuse me.
You are generous. That's pretty reasonable. That's good. Maybe I'll try and be a bit more conscious about the three-step rule. It might stop me from physically harming someone, which has happened.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of instances.
Incidents or instances? Oh, no. P-barb is going off the rails.
Situations where PMS just so happened to be combined with a little bit of alcohol and also really insensitive comments. Right. And of course, that's just a nasty combo in its own right. So this was when I was in my mid-20s. So a while ago now, I'm a much calmer PMS person. But I think this is when my PMS first started, like when I started noticing that I was quite edgy before my period. So I didn't know what to do with it at that point. And then you drink, you have some liquid courage and, you know, and one of our friends said, actually, you look like you could be in your 30s. I was like, excuse me? And it didn't even have time to register, but my hand just came out and slapped him on the face. And it wasn't like a friendly slap. It was like a full-on, like, cheek slap. And after I did it, I was like, what did I do? I'm so sorry.
Did you know him? Was he like a close friend? Or
he wasn't like super close. He was a friend of a friend. So we weren't like the tightest.
Okay, so he was already on thin ice, let's be honest.
Yeah. You know,
oh my God.
You don't call like friends / acquaintances. They could look 8 years older than they really are. Nah, you don't get away with that.
Not with P-barb.
I did apologize and we laugh about it to this day. And I do feel terrible because it wasn't warranted. You know, in any other situation, I'd be like, please, you look like you're 50. You know, like a normal comeback in poor guy. But he learned his lesson. He's never insulted a woman's age ever since. So was it really that bad?
He learned he likes something. I don't know. Let's see. Can we get him on the line, please, sir?
I'm like, yo, mate.
How do you feel? I don't know. Wow. I don't think that's, you know, that much. We hear people that are more confrontational when they get in way more altercations without being any correlation to their menstrual cycle at all. So I think you are pretty. I think you're doing great. Don't worry. You know what? They can handle it. Now they won't be talking about people's ages.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but I think over the years, I have learned to regulate it. Because it's always good to be self-aware about these kind of things. I always like to know why I'm feeling some kind of way. And if I know that I'm PMSing, I'm like, cool, I know I'm easily agitated. So I can just remove myself from situations that I know, like, even if someone says something at home, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be part of this conversation because it will trigger me because I'm feeling a lot more sensitive at this point in time. And the family understands that.
And do you usually tend to, like, take and internalize these situations? Not necessarily the two you mentioned, but, you know, when someone says something that is not necessarily meant to be, you know, controversial to you or to make you feel offended, but you take it as like, was this an affront? And then keep it with you. You know, like, do you also do that? When this is my question, because sometimes I feel that I understand that the sense, like, my empathy or my sensibility was heightened.
Like, you take it personally?
But I tend to carry the comment or what happened to a little bit longer than just in the moment.
I think maybe I used to, because again, I didn't know why I was feeling so strongly about certain things. But I think come to this point in time, I've learned to separate. Because at the end of the day, our thoughts and our emotions do not define the core essence of who we are. So knowing there is that separation and knowing that I am feeling this way because I am PMSing it makes it easier for me to let go of and not hold on to. That being said, it is way easier said than done. Like, in theory, it's all dandy. But, you know, sometimes it does get hard. And at the end of the day, all you need is a big rant sometimes. Just someone to listen to you rant. And I've told my boyfriend multiple times, like, sometimes when I call you and I rant, I'm not looking for help. I'm not looking for a solution. Just nod and smile. Maybe throw a bar of chocolate my way. Give me a hug, but be real good with it. Because if you hug me the wrong way, then you're on the receiving end of a bunch of shit.
Can I share a tip? I usually love the audio feature from like WhatsApp or any messaging app. You can just send like your own mini rant to friends.
Oh, yeah.
I try to not overload them, but I just like, you know what? Today's going to be a 5-minute message kind of day. And I'm just going to be like, oh my God, at work and whatever. And then this person and then the traffic and anything that has happened. Maybe they don't even know them because I moved to a different country. But I'm just like, I know you don't know these people, but I just have to right now. And I just like, blah, 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 yeah. And send it in.
No, I totally get that.
Oof, rant over.
Yeah, and it's just a load off your shoulder at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I think with the holding grudge thing, when I started to be more aware of what my body was doing and realizing that this is not how I was feeling last week, but I am feeling this week, and then checking your calendar, I started to hold less grudge about certain things because I realized that maybe it wasn't what was said, but how I received it, and then try to do this evaluation within myself. Like, is this really a reason to get angry or feel sad? Or is this how I am right now? Is this my body processing things in an angry way or in a more morose way? You know, I think once you start to listen to your body, you see that there's always a little bit of PMS. Like, I have to be honest, I don't have it a lot. I think I'm irritated all year round, so that's fun. But I do notice a peak, I guess, and a lower low. But I think everyone does go through some sort of shift, even temporary, maybe just that warning sign before, just the day before.
Yeah, I mean, the day before is, let's be real, that's when it's at its peak.
Oh my God, my mother used to have really bad PMS, like really, really bad. To the point that the only solution was like medication to cut off the period altogether. Like, so she would take, it's kind of like the pill, but instead of having that little break, it would just be all year round. And then it really changed things at home, like for the better. Mm. It was insane. We're also an all female household. Me, my sister, Chris the helper, the two female cats, and my grandma at the time that was always stopping by. Amazing. So everybody knew, like, hey, you need to cool it a little bit. Okay, because we know what's going on. But with her, there was no talking, let's get real, because she got insane. One time, what is it that we lost? We lost something of hers. And the only way to find it that she thought was reasonable was, what if we go through every single closet and take everything out of it and throw it on the floor? I think this is how we're going to find it. And nobody leaves this house until we find the thing. And we're like, Mom, no, wait, I think we can find it. And she just went ahead and she would pull the hangers with the clothes and throw it on the floor. And she'd be like, check it, see if you can find it. And it wasn't an important item at all. Otherwise, I would remember, like, we lost her phone or her wallet or something. It was just pure PMS psychosis. Like, it really was. I'm not exaggerating or using that word strongly, because she did went to the doctors at some point.
But that's the thing, right? Like, people don't even know that there's an option of that.
You needed someone to step in and be like, hey, I think you need extra help with this, because we all have PMS, but yours is damaging, you know, your home environment, your work environment, because she would also feel this at work, you know, and then you become like this reputation of the angry person. And then, but it really improved, like, her situation. She never had one of those episodes ever again, because it regulated. And then her menopause came in the regular time. She just noticed she would do...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, once a year, you stop taking it to check in. You know, like, is my period still regular or something? And then at some point, it just didn't come. And then she was like, great, I don't have to buy pills anymore.
But so when she went through menopause, you know, the mood swings that come with it. Did she go through any of those as well?
I think it was different. She did have the hot flashes. I do remember the classic, like, opening the freezer and just hanging around there for a bit. A lot of ice cream. We would just constantly have ice cream at home. And I realized that later because there wasn't any ice cream at home ever. And I was like, we used to have like always ice cream. And she was like, yes, because I was dying of heat strokes because I was having the menopause. Yeah.
Of heat. Oh, gosh. If there was ever an excuse to have ice cream.
It was like, this is my pain management, okay? I need this. Yeah, I don't think it was as bad as it was before, the PMS or any mood swings. I think it was just, we just chuck it to normal, you know, my daughters are pissing me off and not mood swings, which was also fair. Let's be honest.
I mean, it's a fine line with parents and kids. All the emotional turmoil that she must have been going through every month. The least she could do is have an easy menopause. I feel like she earned that one.
I think so too. I need to check in with my sister if hers has changed now that she's also older, closer to 30. But I don't think when we were younger and living together, we had a lot of like PMS clashes.
Maybe it's something that only really develops when you're older.
This is what I wonder. Is it because are we becoming more aware of our changes, or is it actually changing because we're older? You know, like I think it could be a mix of both. You have your first hormonal surge in puberty, and then near the 30, and then we're going to have another one later coming up. And what about your sisters?
Yeah, I don't feel like we ever had any PMS, you know, like clashes. From what I know, she gets a little bit more emotional when she PMSs. But then again, we don't live together, so maybe her husband's a better person to ask. I mean, my partner, he's fully aware of what my cycle goes through. I mean, we've been doing long distance for nearly 2 years now, so he gets all the dish. I spare no details. I'm like, this is the period where you know, just let's just be a little bit more careful about what we say. Because communication is everything. He can't give me a hug. So on a phone call, you know, one wrong sentence just means a million different things. I've also realized, I don't know if this is something you've noticed, diet changes my PMS. So what I'm consuming is a huge factor, not just for the physical symptoms like your cramps, you know, your lethargic feeling, like all that. Yeah, fine. That's a given that diet will affect that. You know, they tell you avoid coffee, avoid chocolate. And I'm like, these are all, avoid alcohol. I'm like, these are all the things that I want when I'm PMSing.
All my pacifiers. What do you mean?
Exactly. But I did a gut cleanse for a couple of weeks. So I cut out processed foods, added sugars, so natural sugars are fine. I would say I cut out most carbs, not the nitty-gritty stuff like carbs and bananas. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cut out gluten and
dairy.
Yeah, dairy, except for yogurt. Like good stuff like yogurt, I'm still fine. Don't really drink milk anyway. Cut out coffee, and I was very irritable the first week or so. But that was obviously the withdrawal from the sugars and the carbs and stuff. Yeah, but that next month that I had my period, my PMS was not as bad.
So
these kind of things like do play a part as well.
Yeah, I think the only notice that I changed when moving, or I'm originally from Brazil and I'm currently living in Germany, but I didn't used to have a lot of cramps, and I move already mid-20s, and I think that the foods here like really upset my stomach more often, and the cramping got really stronger. I don't know, I couldn't draw you the difference between causation and correlation here, if I also have more PMS because of it with the sensitivity.
Yeah.
I think maybe the food thing altering your cycle, that is, I also feel that. I do feel that as well. Like when traveling.
Yeah. I mean, I've cut out my sugar cravings and I don't crave them as much when I'm on PMS now.
Me neither. I used to be a lot of a chocolatier. I just like the crunch. So I can replace chocolate for something else as long as it gives me a little mouth crunch. You know, I think that is just the nervous biting, I guess, more than the sugar craving. Mm, yeah.
I have chocolate fingers, Cadbury's chocolate fingers. That is my one weakness. It like melts in your mouth. It's basically heaven. So a couple of months ago, I was craving it so bad, like ridiculously bad. That I went online and I bought it and got it shipped in from the UK, and I spent about $160 on shipping for like four boxes. And I was like, I didn't buy it, my womb did it. And the thing is, I couldn't even enjoy it until my next cycle, and I had to wait the whole month. And you best believe I devoured it. Like when my PMS hit and my day one came, I went to the pool and I was like, I'm just gonna zen out. And I was like, oh, I'll just have a few. And you're by the pool, it's sunny. I ate that box in 3 minutes flat.
You felt sick or felt great?
I felt sick, like to eat. It was literally the first thing I was eating in the morning. That was my breakfast.
I thought I was going to be like, it was amazing. No, I like, felt sick. I just
inhaled it.
Yeah. When you needed, you needed.
Yeah. And then that same day, I was scheduled to do like a closet clear out. And, you know, pack all my stuff, prepare to move to Australia. And all I did was clear out like my underwear, my sock drawer, my sports bras before I get to the real stuff. And then I started stressing and spiraling. And because I'm still PMSing, I literally sat there and cried in a sea of socks and underwear. Because I was like, why do I have so many socks? What if there's not enough space in James's house for all my things? What if he doesn't let me bring everything over? And I just sat there and cried for like 15 minutes. And I was like, you know what? I can deal with this. So I went to go and get another box of chocolate fingers and had it with tea.
Oh my God.
So I had two boxes in one day. And that was two out of my 4 month stash. So last month I didn't have any.
Wow.
So I got one box in the fridge. And James has now sent me six more boxes. It's on its way. Good man.
Knows what is needed and knows how to provide.
Exactly.
You need those specifiers and whatever helps. I get touch starved, and I would also pay $100 shipping if you were to have something. Like, I always try to see if someone is traveling and bring some stuff back, but sometimes I need it now, and I'm not going to wait for someone to be traveling to bring my little special things. Oh, Barbara, thank you so much for sharing all those stories. I promise, we don't think of you differently. I think we all go through all those moments. Even if you're not a person that menstruates, you cannot deny it that you also go through hormonal change and have times that they're more sensitive, more irritable. We all go through it.
And at the end of the day, all of this crazy that comes with my PMS, it's a part of who I am, and that's okay.
It's more than okay. It's a part of it, exactly. The thing that I would like to motivate here is to just listen, see if there's a change. Don't be so self-conscious about it. Just embrace it. Realize, like Barbara said, like I would just remove myself from the situation or seek out medical help or assistance if you think that could, you know, provide a better lifestyle for you. In my case, I thought I didn't have it, but if you listen to your body, you do have a shift. You do have something that is going on. And then figuring out what is it makes you feel safer in that mindset, in that headspace, how to better relate with people. Yeah. I don't know. And also not to be so fearful of it, because it is part of you. Just like own it a little bit.
Own it, be okay with it, just accept it. It takes time. You know, it's easier said than done. It took me a long time to realize that, you know what, I actually don't react well with sad movies. Like, it emotionally drains me. So I avoid them like the plague. Everyone's like, oh, haha, I'd love to watch The Notebook with you. I'm like, no.
Absolutely not. No, never read it, never watched the movie, will not. Thank you. No. Thank you, Barbara, for joining us today at the Free Flow podcast and sharing all your stories. I wish you lots of luck in your Australia trip.
Thank you for having pleasure. Me.
So where can people find you? You're on Instagram at Latimer Barbara, correct?
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, this is just going to be a shameless plug. If anyone needs an MC or someone for a campaign, you can go to my website, simple, www.barbalatimer.com.
So thank you, Barbara, for joining. Make sure to follow her and check out her website. We'll be coming back with the next Free Flow episode. Also, follow us and listen to us on anywhere that you like to listen to your podcast. We like chatting, but we also like facts. Information is power, but it can be overwhelming. We are collaborating with FEMSI, an app that informs and assists all menstruating bodies with their monthly experience. And today we have their specialists here sharing some data and myth busting. So let's get started with loss in menstruation.
Welcome to Lost in Menstruation. I'm your FEMSI specialist, and today we'll talk about premenstrual syndrome. PMS is a very common thing. 90% of menstruators go through it, and the symptoms can vary from person to person. But mood swings are the most commonly reported symptom of them all. Have you ever wondered why? Well, it's because of two hormones, estrogen and progesterone. They can rise and fall within each menstrual cycle. They impact every system in our body, including the brain. It's even believed that their highs and lows can affect our levels of serotonin, that thing we call happiness. Serotonin is a calming hormone, and it has a huge impact on our mood regulation. It balances our sleep, it improves the way we feel happiness, and decreases anxiety. So, when our serotonin levels are low, it can cause more twinges, anxiety, and it can even trigger cravings for sweets. When the mood swings strike, it can feel like we have no control over them. But don't worry, we have good news. There are little things we can do to fight our PMS blues. We can help our body produce a little more serotonin naturally. You can start by getting some sun. Do some exercise. Go for a run, swim, or cycling. If you don't feel like you have the energy for these things, try meditation or just go for a walk in nature. Also, there are other hormones that can help us staying in a more positive vibe. Dopamine, the reward hormone, oxytocin, the connection hormone, and endorphin, the excitement hormone. Luckily, we can also produce them naturally. Here's how. To produce some fine dopamine, you can engage in self-care, like giving yourself a face mask or a mani-pedi. You can listen to songs that you like, or you can eat your favorite food in a moderate quantity. And here's a pro tip. If you're working on a large project, break it down into smaller jobs. Each time you complete a small task, checking it off your to-do list, you'll get a little hit of dopamine. Now, to get some oxytocin and its cozy feeling of being safe and snuggled, here's what you can do. Cuddle a pet. Connect with your friends and family. Give a hug. Get a massage. Or preparing and sharing food with loved ones. Last but not least, how to get an exciting dose of endorphin. It's a natural painkiller. It can even help with period cramps. You can do some exercises. Laughter is proved to be a huge producer of endorphin, so you get your Netflix on and watch some comedy series. Eating dark chocolate, or something that's a little bitter and not too sweet, can be a great booster. There isn't much evidence around this scientifically, but it is believed that burning essential oils like lavender, citrus, rosemary, and frankincense can all help with boosting it off as well. You can get wild and do some artistic projects. Creative activities can be a great help to release endorphin. And of course, having sex or self-pleasure can help you hit all of these boxes at once. A little endorphin is a good thing, but too much of it can make you feel jittery, so take it easy. Now, there's one last little thing we need to speak about. A much more severe form of PMS can happen in about 5% of menstruators. It's called PME, premenstrual exacerbation. If depression, apathy, anxiety, panic attacks, feeling of low self-worth, and other symptoms are crippling your lifestyle and leaving you unable to function normally, it could be signs of PME. The best way to start getting help is to write a journal every day so you can better understand your symptoms. You can track your moods and your menstrual cycle and take the data to an informed care provider. Now you're a hormone master and ready to fight our PMS blues, dear Padawans.
And that was Lost in Menstruation, a collaboration between She Period and FEMSI app, empowering menstruators by sharing information and busting period myths. Now let's get back to our regular schedule. Girl, you're still here? You're still listening? Let's get into what's good. the section where we share fun tips and treat you real good. So what's good today? Okay, I need everybody's attention. Hello, hello. We're going to be talking about hygiene. How do I wash my faxina? How do I clean up my hoja? Can I have the product list? So get a piece of paper, get a post-it, your notes app, your very organized iPad, if you're an iPad girl. Are we all listening? Okay, all you need to clean yourself is water. That's it. Write it down. Water is all I need. You don't need any scented products. You don't need any special douches. Nothing going internally in your vagina channel, okay? It's just water. If you're feeling sweaty, if you are in a bloody day, you can use soap externally. But what we're talking about here is the vaginal hygiene. When you open the lips and you go around all the nooks and crannies, you do not need harsh chemicals there. Especially inside, I'm telling you, it washes itself. So if you're noticing that you're having more discharge and you think it's because you're dirty or need to wash more, so you get a special soap for it, you just got yourself into a vicious cycle because your vagina is trying to wash away all those sands, la-da-dee-da-da, just water. Trust me on that one. Speaking about all you need, I got a recommendation for 2022 that is coming out now. Season 4, Killing Eve. Oh my God, have you watched the show? If you have not watched it, then it's perfect. You got all three seasons to binge before the next one starts. So Sandra Oh is Eve, which is a kind of bored detective, police person style. And she comes across this assassin called Villanelle. And now they start this sick, obsessive attraction to each other, where they just kind of want to keep chasing and finding each other through these crazy plots all over the world. They're traveling, they're killing. Oh, it's amazing. Totally recommend. You have to go check out Killing Eve Season 4. And that's what's good. Thank you for listening to Free Flow Podcast by She Period. And remember, menstruation is not a synonym of shame. It's a symbol of empowerment. Go to sheperiod.com for some fine menstrual products and follow us on Instagram at @trysheperiod. Let's continue talking. Share your stories with the world. We want to hear it. I'm your host, Livia, and that was all for today. Thank you again and see you next episode.